Sorry.
I don't even know where to begin. It's been a long process for me. Things are going to be done a little bit differently today. In case you haven't already noticed, Lisa did worship a little bit different. I'm not one who wants to get up here and preach at you. So people that I've been talking with, we don't call it preaching. But what I really want to do is I want all of you to be involved. And I have some video that we're going to show. And so I kind of was setting that up just before we got done praying, and some interaction from all of you and all kinds of little things going on. Is the shirt distracting enough? I'm hoping this will keep you concentrated and you won't notice how nervous I am. Is there anybody out there who needs to have like some work done at their house or their yard or something? Because I'll gladly go do it right now. That's where I am most comfortable, is kind of behind the scenes, helping you out, doing things, standing up here. Oh, I don't know if I'm called for that. We'll find out, won't we? I've spoken in front of 200 youth before. I meet with the youth every week. I lead a couple different Bible studies. That I'm comfortable there. Right now, you are making me nervous. you guys want to go ahead and bring that up? They're going to somehow get this thing set up. And Lisa, are you going to actually run that eventually? You don't have to now. It'll be a while. And then, oh, just a second. Someday we'll actually have it all set up where you won't have to go through all this. I was here yesterday for a couple hours making sure the video projector worked and the sound is all connected and all the other things. It'll still be a shot in the dark if it works or not. What worked yesterday does not necessarily work today, so we'll see where we go from there. My notes are about that long, if you actually look at them. But I have tons of pages all over the place and different books. Kids are going to come in because I want them to join all of you. So Amy was working with the children's church, and she wanted to listen to this. So I told her, okay, and I gave her all kinds of stuff. The material that they went through, and I'm okay if he's up here with me. You'd probably bug me more than anything else. But no. So the kids are going to sit in. They have papers, correct, Amy? Okay. Some of them have coloring papers and activity papers. What they learned over there was the prodigal son. And last week, John kind of touched on the prodigal son, knowing a little bit that I was going there, but we never really got together and talked about, oh, what are you doing? And I never told him what I was doing. But what you may find out is that he did part one, and I'm doing part two. And it wasn't something that we planned, okay? So it's just the way it's going to be. Before I get into all of that, you already know that today, and they've talked about it, is Memorial Day. We're celebrating Memorial Day this weekend. But today also has significance in the church. Does anybody know what today is? It has to do with Easter. Yes. Today is also Pentecost Sunday, but along with Pentecost Sunday, it is the, and this sounds funny at first, it is the Global National Day of Prayer. How can you have a Global National Day of Prayer? What it is all across the, yeah, Sandra's going, all across the world, all across this globe, there are Christians and nations who are getting together and praying for their nations and praying for the world in general. And I have some paperwork here. I can get more. I have an entire 8-page file at the house that talks about it, what to pray for, how to pray. And so what I want to do before I get started is to join in that observance. It is something that started in Africa, and the movement is growing, and they want to pray for the world until 2010 is what they have set right now. So it'll be this year in 2008, 2009, 2010 to pray for our world. And in your folders, your bulletins, the memory verse that's there, not the memory verse, shows where I'm at, the meditation that's there on the top and the inside, it talks, I don't have mine with me, but it talks about covering this land. And it's in Habakkuk. Don's handing me one. Thank you. It says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." That is the theme that they have selected for this year's Global National Day of Prayer. So we are joining, today we are joining with 300 million other Christians, however many Christians are out there. They actually have it on the website that they have that talk about that. So I want to take a moment or two and actually pray today on the Global National Day of Prayer. So let's pray. Father, we come before you now. And this very moment, we join with thousands upon thousands of other churches and millions of other Christians who are praying for their nation. Father, we lift our nation up to you. We lift our leaders up to you. Ask that you turn our hearts back to you. Allow us to call upon you and to come before your presence. And knowing that if we do, you will heal our land. Father, we desperately need a healing. Father, as our prayers ascend to you, come down and cover this earth with your Spirit, as the waters covered the land. Allow revival to start and allow our hearts to turn back to you. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want to know more about the National Global Day of Prayer or the website or anything, I can get it to you a little bit later on. Now, where do we go? This has been a long time in the making for me. Almost 20 years ago, a friend called up and asked me if I'd move to Vallejo and work as their youth leader. And I said, sure. And Lisa and I packed up all of our stuff and moved to Vallejo and started youth work. And that was 19 years ago. And that is where I feel comfortable. And what I want to do today is move around a lot, apparently. But what I want to do today is share with you, I have a passion. God has given me a passion and something that's in my heart. And over these 19 years in reading books and attending seminars and doing things, I have a lot of head knowledge. And imagine my mouth is the end of a funnel. And I'm trying to get what's in my head and my passion in my heart and get the two of those to come together and to speak to you and to share with you my passion. And my passion is definitely youth. Because if it was not for youth leaders and people who were around when I was in the youth group, I don't know where I'd be. And we have a lot of youth, a lot of kids who are growing up there, out there in a fatherless generation. And there are tons of statistics out there. Andrew, there is one you have there, fatherless statistics. And I guess I'll start there because that's where I'm at. And you can read them. They're there. Nearly 2 out of every 5 children in America do not live with their fathers. That would be 40%. Most of you can figure that part out. 40% of our youth, of our kids, don't have their father in the household. Now, those who do have their fathers in the household, maybe their father is distant or isolated or busy. I know as a kid when I was growing up, my mom and dad were still together as I was growing up part of the time. But my dad was never around. I do not remember very much about my dad. I remember going to Washington, D.C., and climbing up the Washington Monument, you know, the big, tall, oblong-type thing, walking the stairs up there. I remember doing that. And I think that's about it. He was in the military, and he was always busy doing things. So my dad, as I was growing up as a child, was one of those who was not around. There are other statistics up there. You can read most of them. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of children that exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated but with displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. 85% of the youth sitting in prisons grew up in fatherless homes. And 71% of pregnant teenagers come from fatherless homes. The numbers are astounding. It actually gets on. It gives you, you know, what does it mean to children? If a child who grows up in a fatherless home would be 5 times more likely to commit suicide, 32 times more likely to run away from home, 20 times more likely to have behavior disorders, 14 times more likely to commit rape, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, 8.5 times more likely to end up in prison. And compared to children who are in the care of 2 biological married parents, children who are in the care of single mothers are 33 times more likely to be seriously abused, and then 73 times more likely to be killed. And the statistics can go on and on. I have another page here. I'm not going to get into it. It's sad. If that doesn't make your heart hurt for those children who are growing up without their fathers, or with their fathers who are present who may not be taking part in their lives, then I don't know what will. And then, as Christians, we want to go up to them and say to them, these children, that God is your heavenly Father. Or say a scripture verse like Psalms 103, verse 13 says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." If you have a child who's growing up in a home and he's or she is abused by their father physically or verbally, or their father is not present, the father has nothing to do with them, and you tell them that their heavenly father is like their father, you just ruined it for them. That's sad. That breaks my heart. And what I want to try to do in youth ministry is to let these youth, most of them are sitting back over there, let these youth know that God loves them and try to show them what fatherly love is all about. Some of you, if you're sitting here thinking, think about your dad. What was your dad like? Okay, some of us are old and stuff like that, but I want you to think about your dad. What is your memories of your dad? What do you know about your dad? And then, this is the part where you get involved. What I want you to do is, you're going to have 3 options, okay? What I want you to do is think about God now. When you think of God, do you think of God as a sheriff? As a butler? Or do you think of God in a box? You know, Jack in the Box, God in the Box, okay? I can explain him if you want me to. God is a sheriff, somebody who's just up there waiting for you to do something wrong so he can just lay it down on you. Just really come down on you and say, boom, 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 you did all this wrong, you're going to hell, that's it. Okay? Or do you think of God as a butler, somebody that you can go to and say, God, I really need this. If you do this for me and this stuff, and he's there to wait on you hand and foot, your every need. Okay? Or do you think of him as God in a box, somebody that is there, and whenever you want to, you can go and take him down and play with him for a little bit and do some stuff. And when you're done, put him back in the box and you control it. And you say to God, well, I only want you to be like this. Okay? Now you're going, well, how do we get involved? What I want all of you to do is to stand up. If, to you, you're going to have to move, okay? And I don't know how this is going to work because when I thought about it, I didn't have however many people are here. If you think of God in a box, I want you to change seats and move over here. If God is a sheriff, in the middle. And if God is a butler, sit over there. And you're going to have to move. That's your activity part of it for right now, okay? Yes. If it's none of the above, try to find the one that fits best to it. Okay, that is the very, very best. You may think of God as a loving father who is there and tenderly embracing you, but humor me. I'm trying to find one that fits closest to it as much as possible. Now, some of these go online. I have a video that will show that will kind of explain some of it. But I have 7 or 8 different videos, and if I were to show you all of them, we'd be here for an hour or two. So, okay, locations again. If you think it's God in a box, it's over here. That is somebody that you can take off this. Did I get it? I miss him up then? Jim, you were going somewhere. God in a box over there, butler over there, sheriff in the middle. If you think of God as a butler, you're on the overhead side of it. Okay. I know it's not easy, and that may not be your view of him. I have other ones. I know that show, you know, like God as a mechanic who has no time for us. God is a party animal. Sorry, Tim. Maybe we ought to swap them maybe if you're God as a butler, we can sit here, because there's a lot of you. You okay over there? Okay. Well, you're going to have to stay there for a while, so sit down and get comfortable. Somehow, do I need more chairs? I'll get more chairs. That's where I'm comfortable. Carol, you can sit right there. That's cool. You can sit there. No, not there. I mean in the pew. I don't want you sitting on the ground. Okay. How many people can you fit in a pew? Wow. Okay, if I were to sit down, I would be sitting down right here in God as a Sheriff. And I have some video that we're going to show. Were you going to try to do that? Okay, she goes, I don't even know how. I may run back there to start the video and show her how. Can we get all the lights turned off up here? And the first one is going to be God as a Sheriff. It's 5 minutes long. And when I think of God as I was growing up, He was somebody there only to correct me and to punish me. And as a teenager, that's where it's at. Even after I became a Christian, it was one of those things I had to, I don't know exactly how to say this, I had to pay penance for what I had done. And I was always finding ways to punish myself, thinking that that's what God needed. How could God just forgive me? It was a concept I couldn't grasp and stuff like that. So we're going to watch a video. Lisa's going, how? The thing up over the cover. That would have been what my view was of God. And somebody who was out there finding something that I did wrong and wanting to shoot me down, looking for everything I did wrong. If you sat in the middle, that might be kind of what your view was somewhere along that line as a sheriff. It's tough, but what we have is we have a lot of people who are growing up and they have distorted or misinterpreted views of God because of the way they relate to their father and the way they relate to their earthly fathers. Now, some of us, it may not necessarily just be your earthly father. Your earthly father may be great. It may be your youth pastor. It may be somebody that you respect at school, a teacher. It may be your senior pastor. The list can go on and on, but it's really somebody who is in an authority figure over us. And so what we have then is we have a world, we have people who are growing up in a broken world. We have broken hearts. And what we've done is, over generation after generation, we have broken-hearted people who are raising broken-hearted people who will in turn raise more broken-hearted people. And as I was growing up, I don't look at it and say, well, my dad came from a broken world. All I know is that he wasn't there for me. And because he wasn't there, when I thought of God, I thought God would not be there for me either. Okay? And so I grew up a little bit angry, a little bit frustrated by that. I have a couple, I have all kinds of stuff, but I have a couple things. There's a young mother, she weeps silently into her pillow. All her life, she dreamed of marriage. If only I could have a home. If only I could have a husband and a house. So now she's married. The honeymoon has long since ended. The tunnel she dug out of one prison only led her to another. Her land of Oz has become a land of dirty diapers, carpools, and bills. She shares a bed with a husband she doesn't love. She listens to the still sleep of a child she doesn't know how to raise, and she feels the sand of her youth slide through her fingers. Okay, how about this one? A middle-aged businessman sits in his plush office, staring blankly out the window. A red German sports car awaits him in the parking lot. There is a gold ring on his finger. Okay. He has a tailored suit, a gold credit card in his wallet. His name is in brass on a walnut door. His shoes are hand-sewn. His name well-known. He should be happy. He possesses the package he set out to get when he stood at the bottom of the ladder looking up. But now he has what he wants. Let's see. But now he has what he wants. He doesn't want it. Now that he is at the top of the ladder, he sees that it is leaned against the wrong building. He left his bride in the dust of his ambition. The kids that called him daddy don't call him daddy anymore. They have a new one. And though he has everything that success offers, he traded in a heartbeat to have a home to go home to tonight. situations, people who are living brokenhearted lives. Any of the youth want to volunteer for some? I need three of you, four of you. Come on up. That'd be good. Now, it's not staged. They didn't know I was going to call them up, or they have no idea what they're doing. They're going to... Okay, this one's yours. This one's yours. This one's yours. And that one's yours. You get to read those now. These are actual letters that have been written by youth about their parents and where they're at in life. They're all looking, going, oh, yeah, read it. Go ahead. Anyone of you, go ahead and start.
My mom and dad just got a separation. My mom is often leaving my little brother with me to go out with her friends. I asked her if I could go out, and she said no because she said I would be doing drugs and drinking. But what she doesn't understand is if I wanted to, I could drink and could do drugs without going to parties. You see, I used to live in Las Vegas, and all I did was go to parties and drink and everything like that. I got raped by my ex-boyfriend last year, and after that, I started cutting myself and became bulimic. Now, I don't know how to tell my mom because she is bulimic too. So can you please pray for us, Zoe? 15.
Thank you. Kelly, go ahead.
I need help, please. Where do I start? I'm 17 and I'll be 18 soon. When I was 15, I gave my life to God. At least I thought I did. After I gave my life to God, I started doing things I never done before. I got into smoking, drinking. I can't stop. I try to, but I just can't. I don't know. I got pain inside, and I'm letting it all grow inside. I don't know how to deal with it. I've been stealing my... Okay, I don't know how to deal with it. I've been sitting in... Okay, hello. Oh, I've been slitting my eyes or arms now, though, not to be bad. Can you please help me, please?
I need a prayer. I'm really struggling a lot now. Since I was about 6, my dad has verbally abused me and on occasion physically. When I was 12, my great-grandfather started molesting me, and then 17 days ago, this hurts me the most. I was raped when I was leaving work. I feel so dirty and used and abused and ashamed, and I don't know what else. I feel like I'll never be clean. I have so much hatred in my heart right now. I hate my life. I want to kill myself and get away from the pain. It hurts. I can't handle it anymore. Please help, Anonymous.
For the past couple of years, people in my school have been telling me to kill myself. It has lowered my concentration, and I ended up failing the class. Recently, my mother told me I'm nothing and I'm worthless. It slipped out while we were having a fight, but she still said it, and I always remember the time she's called me fat. I'm now bulimic and a self-mutilator. There are days I can't go through the day without cutting myself up to 30 times. I suffer from major depression, and I do drugs. I used to be Christian, and I still consider myself one. I'm just no longer sure if I'm going to heaven or hell. I still go to church as much as I can, and I only listen to Christian music, but still, I'm not sure. I'm not asking for a prayer. Basically, I'm not worth that much. I just thought I could talk to you, Rachel.
Thank you. All right, thank you very much. Those letters, cries of help from youth. The last one that Curtis was reading, the last line of it, I'm not asking you to pray for me. I'm not worth that much. I just thought you could help. We have youth, we have adults who need a relationship with God, who need to know God intimately. So many of us accept Jesus Christ, and we leave God way behind. Okay? Think about that for a second. We accept Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us, and we accept that. But Jesus Christ also came to show us what the Father was like, to show us the love of the Father. We leave that behind. We don't have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We don't call Him Abba Father. That's a daddy-like love. when the children were gone, you saw Lacey run over. I know she's not my daughter, and she never will be. But boy, it is just so much fun to get a hug from her. And she'll see me. She'll come running up and just be able to squeeze her tight and to hold her. Not having kids of my own, I miss that. And I guess I'm going to miss that. Yeah, look. Some of you fathers out there, imagine what it's like with your daughter or your son when they come running over and just holding you tight. And the love that you have for them, God has that type of love for you. Not the type of love that we've read about here. Not the type of love that I read about. Not the type of love that was on that video there. God loves you. And He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. He wants to hold you tight. He wants you to share all your hurts with Him, all your pains with Him. He wants to be with you. Get rid of some of this stuff. That's it. We have kids who are growing up without their fathers. 40% of them don't have their father living in the household. Those who do, they may not have a relationship with their dad. I didn't. And as I was growing up as a child, my mom and dad were together, and my dad was off in the military doing all of his stuff, and he'd come home, I don't even know when, on weekends, after tours were over, whatever it is, I don't know. Then we moved to Guam. My mom and dad split up. My dad took off. Now my dad's no longer in the picture at all. Complete separation, divorce, whatever you want to call it, he's gone. My mom has to go to work. Okay, she has to provide for us because my dad's not doing it. That left me angry, left me very bitter. Not only is my dad not around, but now my mom's not around because she is doing everything she can to care for us and provide for us. Do I see that as a kid? No, I just know that my mom and my dad are not around for me. I was angry. I went to church. I was still angry there. I had a brother and sister that I would misdirect my anger toward. One of the statistics up there talked about, you know, misdirected anger. I was so mad at my dad for not being around. I was so mad at my mom for not being around. I took it out on my brother and my sister. I took it out on kids in the youth group. Other friends, dear friends, I would take it out on them because I was mad. I took it out on my girlfriend. I would hit her. I'd beat her up. I'd do things to her. I did not know what it was like to have a loving relationship. I don't remember a time my dad ever just taking me and holding me and hugging me. I don't. As I think back of my dad and think back of these times, I never had a relationship with my dad. I don't ever remember him holding me. I don't. I don't remember him ever saying, I love you. When he's gone and separated, I don't remember getting cards from him. I did not know how to accept the love of my Heavenly Father. It's been a long, long journey for me. Some 1978, somewhere around there, I think, is when I first got involved with the church and accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. Been a long, long journey for me. I guess it's only appropriate that on Pentecost Sunday, I'm up here talking with you all. That was when the Holy Spirit came and filled God's people with. And they were empowered to go out and do things, to go out and share about the gospel. It's been a long, long journey for me. A couple people can attest to it, Lisa mostly. What I really, really want is, I know we've laughed a little bit, and there have been some stories that maybe just really grabbed your heart and tugged at you. What I really, really want you to do today is, I want you, if you don't already have it, to find that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. To find that relationship with the Father. To go, Abba, Father, and just hold on to Him. Some of you know about 5 months ago, Pastor Doug left. Maybe that hurt. If we as a church think that our Heavenly Father, once we really get into it, is going to up and abandon us, we've missed it. That's not what it's like. We may be hurt by people, our senior pastors included. Okay? Our dads, our youth pastors. I hear stories from people about youth pastors in the past who have done things that are wrong. Talk to some of our youth. I'm not always the best person. We get out on these trips, and there's 30 of us, there's 40 of us. I can get pretty irritated, right? Yeah. But it doesn't mean I love them any less. And I do everything I can to make sure they know that God the Father loves them, and He'll always be there for them. Here's some statistics for you. 700 Club in October of 2001 released these. 30% of pastors are fired each year. That works out to roughly one out of every four pastors. 50% feel unable to meet the needs of their job. 80% believe that pastoral ministry has affected their family negatively. 33% say that being in the ministry is a hazard to their family. 70% say they have lower self-esteem than when they started the ministry. 40% report a serious conflict with a parishioner at least once a month. And 70% do not have someone they consider a close friend. You know, it's not only our congregations, it's not only our people who are living broken lives and are hurt. It's also the people who stand up here. We have hurting lives as well. We need to get to know the Father. We need that intimate relationship with Him. Two more things. Well, we're getting close. I've asked some of the youth to do a skit. I want you to see the hurt and the brokenness that's going on inside this kid. So, come on up. No, don't go around the back, Amy. Just come straight up this way. Oh, okay. They know what they're doing. I'll be quiet then. Go ahead.
Real funny, Sarah.
So we're hanging out tonight or what?
No, I gotta get my head straight before my mom and dad come back. Tell your parents my mom and dad came back early.
Man, I can't believe that teacher went off his rocker on you. How dumb was that? What does he know anyways? I can't believe somebody with such a strong upbringing would even consider trying marijuana.
No, that's not.
And what gets me the most is the fact that you got caught with it. You didn't even want to try the stuff. Sucked in. Have you seen the cops yet?
No, that'll be tomorrow when mom and dad get back.
Dude, I'm so glad it's you and not me. I'd rather be dead than face my parents over a drug charge.
Knowing your luck, you'll never need to.
Well, I'm out of here. See you tomorrow.
Yeah, you can laugh. Your parents never really cared what you do anyway. It's gonna kill my dad when he finds out. Ah, well, there goes my law career. I didn't really want to do that anyway. But then again, that's just one of the things I didn't want to do. My life's pointless now. I spent so many years trying to be something for mom and dad, and when they find out about this, I'll be nothing in their eyes. John was always the favorite. I was never going to be as good as him. Anyway, this will be the last straw. All those times dad pulled me up and said I wasn't making the grade, always comparing me to my wonder brother, John. Well, I've proven him right now. I haven't made the grade. How's my dad going to face his friends now, having a druggie for a son? I guess I was just destined to be a failure. Some make it and some don't. I can't keep trying to live anymore. It'd be different if dad could accept me for who I really am. But I'm too scared to show him the real me. Mom's going to be shattered. What can I do? Maybe Sarah's right. I'd be better off dead than facing my failure for the rest of my life. This world doesn't need a loser like me littering the place.
Two weeks ago, my son took his life. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. How could someone with so much going for him, my son, a terrific kid, just end it all? Blow himself off the face of the planet. No reason. What a waste. What a loss. My loss. Our loss. The school's loss. The world's loss. Doug, I don't know what you were thinking. To choose death rather than face us over something as small as being caught using drugs. Please, God, there has to be more to it than that. Why did you do it, son? Did you really think your life was that worthless? I'm such a fool. If only I could bring you back as a baby and start it all over again. And tell you what I really felt about you. That I was proud of you from the day I met you, a little bundle of life in your mother's arms. I knew you could make it. I expected it. I demanded it. Yeah, I demanded a lot from you, didn't I? I didn't really find out what you wanted. Didn't find out who you were. We never knew each other. How stupid to put on our masculine masks and pretend everything was all right. What an ego trip to want to make you into something you didn't want to be, just so I could parade your success as a proud father. There's certainly no pride now. Just emptiness, loneliness, and a longing to see you one more time. Well, son, I know this is too late, but this is what I really wanted to say. You've always been a very special part of my life. I know things didn't come as naturally to you as John, and we seemed often to rub each other the wrong way, but there's something about you that's irreplaceable. It's hard to put a finger on it. Was it the soft streak buried underneath that hard exterior? The scheming mind I could never quite understand? I guess it's just, there's no one quite like you. You're Doug. My son, Doug. You're priceless. I love you. Not for what you could do or who I thought you could become. Just because you're you. You're Doug. You mean the world to me. And I'm sorry I never got to tell you.
Can you get a sense of the brokenness, of the lostness in Doug, who was yearning for his father's approval and just his father's love and never hearing it? And then in the end, taking his own life. And then the father, in his own brokenheartedness, not being able to share his emotions, as men were not allowed to show our emotions. And a couple of weeks ago, I stood up here and talked about some of the soldiers who were serving in the war, and parents here who have their sons serving over there. And, you know, I started to cry a little bit and said, oh, I'm getting soft. That's not getting soft. That's getting compassionate. As a youth growing up, I had a heart of stone. You couldn't make me cry if you tried. I was not going to let anybody hurt me. I was not going to let anybody do anything to me because it would be vulnerable and I would set myself up for hurt and disappointment. Nah, God has taken my heart of stone and turned it into compassion and allowed me to have compassion for people. I didn't have that growing up. That's what it is. It's not soft in my old age. It's compassion. God wants to have a relationship with us. I got all kinds of stuff up here. I'll get them out. The Bible goes on and on and on and talks about, in scripture verse, I got page 2 of them. I'm in trouble. Aha. The Bible goes on and talks about God's love for us and how if your own father's not there, God will step in. God will put somebody there for you. I didn't see it as a youth growing up, but as I look back now, there were a lot of men that God placed in my life who were father figures for me, who could show me the way and show me what a true father was like. Pastor Steve, Pastor Robert, okay? They go on and on and on. Pastor Doug for a while and just the nurturing and the bringing me up and things. People who are willing to step beside me and mentor me and show me what it's like to see the Father and which way to go. Uncle Noe, Uncle Alex, just men in the church who are willing to love. That's what it's about. So think about it. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. If you have a relationship with God and He's there to love you. Psalm 68, verse 5. He will be a father to the fatherless. A defender of widows is God in the holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. God will take the 40% that don't have fathers and find fathers for them. We just have to be willing to be those fathers. Men in the church, women in the church, there are youth out there, there are kids out there who need to have a father to look up to. For all of you sitting over here, we're going to show one more video clip. It's only 3 minutes long. It is, if you think of God as a butler, this is what it would be like. Lisa's going to try it. Make sure you get sound on. There you go. You got to uncover the thing. There we go. What does that have to do with a fatherless generation? Not a whole lot. I just wanted to entertain you a little bit. I have a video that goes on and talks about different views of God. We all have a different idea of what God is like, and a lot of that is based upon our father figures, the people that God has placed in our lives. On this one, for those of you sitting there, God's waiting to give you a red BMW, a 320i. Okay, okay. We have those views of God. I'll try to wrap it up here real quick. There was a study done several years ago in Africa, and not necessarily a study, but it's turned into that. What they found was the elephant population was growing way out of control, and they needed to split up the herd. And the big male elephants, they were too big to carry. They couldn't lift them up with the helicopter and move them. So what they did was they figured, we'll move the juvenile elephants and we'll move the females. We can do that. So they picked them up and they helicoptered them and moved them to another part. Then all of a sudden, the rhinoceroses started showing up dead, and they thought they were poachers. So they put video cameras out there, and they videotaped some of this, and what they found out was the juvenile bull elephants, the male elephants, started to form packs, and they were running around, chasing the rhinoceroses, knocking them over, and goring them to death. And they thought, that's kind of strange. Why would this behavior be happening? And so they kind of looked at it a little bit more, and they were going through, for lack of better words, puberty. And what they finally did was they got a couple of the older male elephants and they brought them over and put them with the bull elephants. All that behavior stopped. God created us and we need that father figure. If elephants need that father figure to keep them in line and to teach them the way to go, don't you think our kids need it? Our youth need it as well? Luke chapter 15, verses 20 and 24. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. That's what it's about. God the Father is just waiting for you to come home. The kids, when they were next door in Children's Church, Amy read them a story. It's close to the prodigal son. It was a little bit different. It was about a kid, Mike, who was tired of his parents always correcting him and doing things. And he runs away from home. And it's great for a while. But then his toys got boring and he got a little bit scared and he decided, well, I better go back home. So this little boy goes home and his dad's waiting there and just wraps his arms around him and loves him. That's what it's about. God is just waiting to wrap his arms around you. One more thing and then I'll try to close it up. That's not the one. She was shy and a bit taller than most teenagers. I was tired. The last thing I wanted to do was talk to a self-conscious teenage girl. I had just finished teaching a group of South African people about God's father heart, and I desperately wanted to rest. Yet I sensed I should listen carefully to what she was about to say. Her question seemed almost pointless at first, but then I began to wonder if she really wanted to tell me something more. I waited. When she finished, I asked her if there wasn't something else she wanted to share. She looked relieved. She sat down beside me in the small, crowded auditorium and whispered in my ear, Can I cry on your shoulder? Sure, I said, but can you tell me why? Her eyes brimmed with tears as the story came out. Her father had died when she was very young. Since that time, she had had nobody's shoulder to cry on, no daddy to talk to about her questions, disappointments, achievements, and plans, the dull ache throbbed in her heart as she desperately missed those big, loving arms that once held and comforted her. She cried unashamedly on my shoulder. Then we talked to our Heavenly Father. Together we asked Him to heal the hurt and fill the empty space in her life. That's what it's about. God is waiting. Maybe some of the stuff I've said tonight, some of the stuff I've said today about a fatherless generation, maybe a broken heart, maybe your heart is broken. As you were growing up, or right now, you've just built this wall, and that wall is keeping you from God, keeping you from truly experiencing Abba Father. Maybe you're a Christian, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. That's good. But God wants so much more for all of us. He wants us to have this relationship, to intimately know Him, to feel His love and His presence. The band, the worship team's not going to come up here. I have a couple of songs on soundtrack, and the words are over there. And the first song is "This Is Our God," and it goes through, and He's talking about things. He's a father to the fatherless, you know, and goes. Maybe you fit in there somewhere. Maybe you just want to have that relationship with God. You're welcome to sing along with it. Chris Tomlin and David Crowder sing the first part of it. Maybe you fit in there somewhere. I know I did. And I just so desperately want God to hold me. And then the second song is a little bit slower, a little bit easier. And most of you know that one. It's Arms of Love. When I first heard that song, man, I grabbed onto it. I just so desperately want God to hold me and to hug me. I don't remember it growing up. I don't remember affection. I don't remember my dad being around to just lovingly hold me. And because of that, I could not relate with God. I've been up here for a while, a long time now, and you know, you've been entertained. There's some funny stuff up here. The guy got up here and had all these really old, lousy cliches, and they're kind of fun to listen to. We've had stories of youth who are struggling, of adults who have found everything they ever wanted and found out it wasn't anything they needed and looking for more. God is here. If you want to come forward and spend time with God and just open up to Him, He's waiting for you. Maybe you just want somebody to hug you. I'll give out hugs for free today. Okay, it's just a warm embrace. That's what it's about, getting to know God. Intimately knowing Abba, Father, Daddy. Not some sheriff waiting to shoot you down. Not some butler who's there to fulfill your every need. But somebody who wants to intimately know you, to know everything about you, and to tell you all about Him. He wrote it down in a book so we could read it and find out about Him. And we could spend our lives with Him. That's what it's about. Go ahead, Tim.